I'm thankful that all nations, as Sister Donna taught today, all nations are included in what the Lord desires to bring in salvation that is eternal. Praise God. And even when there is opposition, you know, you can take encouragement from the opposition and their comments. And, the demon saying, what have we to do with you? Are you come to torment us before our time? Praise God. There's a time of torment coming for them. Amen. And that means victory for the people of God. Amen. But in John 12:17-19, there's the observation of the blessing that God gave to Lazarus and his sisters, the miracle that was worked, and then the statement of opposition. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. Now, how could they not talk about it? How could they not exclaim that they were there? They saw it with their own eyes. They experienced it. For this cause, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. It was being spread around. People were talking about it. People were exclaiming about it. A miracle. The dead being raised. And then here's the comment in verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how you prevail nothing? And that's a prophetic statement, of course, and how there's not going to be anything that holds back the church. The Lord said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But here's the statement that is so powerful. Behold, the world is gone after him. Amen. The whole world is gone after him. Now, that's hyperbole on their part, but I'm thankful that that is the possibility that God is looking for. Everybody and anybody. As many and any, thank God, can be included in what the Lord has in store for us. Praise God. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. Now, the world created by God, as he spoke all worlds into existence, his command, let there be light. And thank God that light was both natural and spiritual, and he shined his light for us, and we can walk in his light. And the Bible lets us know we have fellowship one with another because we're children of the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Praise God. That's the result of the light. It's not just illumination for the sense of having physical light, but it's the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ in our lives. And I thank God for that power and that blessing that we're able to receive. Now, Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, starts out by saying, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we recognize what that's saying, that it's an exercise, it's an effort, it's a putting forth of desire for the things of the Lord. And then through faith, by faith, in faith, and so on, is a statements made of people who recognize that they could obey, they could follow through, they could show their faith by what they do. Verse 3 lets us know it's through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God simply spoke, and all of the worlds came into existence. Our solar system, as marvelous and as extensive and as wonderful as it all is just one tiny bit, one tiny portion of all of the creation that God spoke into existence. And through faith, we understand that. We don't have to explain it. We don't have to analyze it. We don't have to understand completely all there is about it. But through faith, We believe, we understand God is the one who made it all, and it came to pass. Adam and Eve were the world. Amen. They were the world. The first creation, the first humans, the first couple, the first marriage, the first family. They walked and talked with God. And what a time they must have enjoyed in the cool of the day, and the Lord would come and be with them. And they no doubt would have opportunity just to reflect on what the day held and what they had done and how they were blessed and so on. We know that sin ruined that fellowship. Disobedience brought about a change that was negative, totally negative, and not anything that was good about it. And fear surfaced for the first time when Adam said, "I was afraid." He let us know how that sin has horrible results. Sin does not build up. It does not satisfy. It does not bring about the things that it would seem to promise and seem to hold out and say, this is going to be good for you. It's going to be a positive thing for you. No, it's not. The results of sin with fear and hiding from the Lord and all of those aspects is not going to be a positive thing. But I'm glad that did not change God's plan. I'm glad the Lord did not just sweep it away and say, well, we'll start over. That didn't work. We're going to have to revise it. We're going to have to make it new again. No, his purpose was the world. God so loved the world. And thank God there was action that came with that decision. There was a plan and a purpose that came about because of that love. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, when we talk about the world in that scripture, John 3:16, we're talking about people. We're talking about God's creation that he breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. And likewise, at your birth, you take that first breath, and you become that living soul as well. Of course, alive in the womb and growing and increasing, and God knowing you, just as he knew David, just as he knew Jeremiah and all of the others who would make that exclamation about God being in their being. Thank God that he provides for us as well. You make up that world that God loved. And he loved so much that he gave. Thank God that he gave. He's a giving God. He's a God who delights in providing. He enjoys blessing, and he promises so much, opening the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing that you wouldn't even be able to contain it. How incredible. More with us than that be with them, speaking about a spiritual enemy. God enjoys giving that protection and that blessing. Praise God. But we recognize that there's a specific giving that the Lord had in mind here. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That son had a beginning. The beginning was in Bethlehem. He's not a second person, not a Jehovah Junior. He's one that came in the flesh. God manifest in the flesh. That's how great his love is. That's how powerful and wonderful the Lord is. He came himself, robed in flesh, thank God, willing to offer himself as the sacrifice. And then it goes on that whosoever, thank God it's wide open. Thank God it includes everybody. Thank God the Lord delights in saving everyone. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, what a plan for the Lord to unfold and include the whole world. John 1:10 makes use of the word world in a physical sense and in a sense of the population. He was in the world, physical. And the world physical was made by him, and the world people or population knew him not. We got to understand that he spoke the world physically into existence, but he came for you and me. He came to reach out into our lives. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Praise God. We're not talking about the climate change agenda and concerns in that area and so on. Although this is the only earth we have, we better take care of it. However, the world that verse is talking about is you and me, the population. Where are we now? 8 billion or so? Right around that range? That's a lot. And can God take care of it all? Oh, yes, he can. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord that there can be a difference for everybody. But the problem is sin. Sin is the problem. Adam and Eve introduced that, or rather, Satan introduced it to their experience. They yielded to it. They succumbed to it. They were overcome by it. And they instituted then all of the difficulties that sin would bring. But I'm thankful that God's plan is redemption from sin. The angel told Joseph, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." Praise God. Sin was the problem. Jesus is the answer. Thank God for the power of the Lord and how that the whole world could be included in this promise. He is the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 2:2. "And not for ours only," John would write, "but also for the sins of the whole world." The whole world. Thank God that the Lord leaves nobody out. He brings forth his power. He manifests his strength. It doesn't matter what culture, what country, what continent. It doesn't matter any of those things. I'm glad Jesus is the once and for all sacrifice for sin. His blood was shed, not the blood of bulls and of goats and lambs and so on, but the blood of Jesus Christ came as the once and for all sacrifice for us because he desires to reach the world. The parable of the sower. The field is the world. And thank God that the Lord reaches out for the whole world. "I am the light of the world," he declared. He sent his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Thank God. He's talking about the physical aspects of going where every populated area is and bring this message to them so that they can be changed. And thank God the power of the Holy Ghost brings a change in us, brings a power to help us to overcome sin, to move in the realm where God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear was awakened at sin in its first instance. But thank God the power of the Holy Ghost does not bring fear, but power and love and of a sound mind. Thank the Lord for all of that blessing and all of that strength. But certainly we know the power of the Spirit is so that we can witness. "Be a witness to me," he said, "beginning in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, under the uttermost parts of the earth." And thank God the ripples of revival can reach the whole world. I'm thankful that the power of God is there. You take a look at the Pentecostal life, the current issue that is back on the periodical table, and you turn to page 14, and I guarantee you there's a whole lot of people in our fellowship that have no idea how to even pronounce Atmatlak. They don't even know where it is. But you look on page 14 of the Pentecostal life, and there's the outreach to Atmatlak from Bethel. Hallelujah. And the power of God that can be displayed in the people who gathered together. 40 of them. Hallelujah. In that one meeting. Oh, my God, includes everybody. The whole world, hallelujah, can be blessed. And thank the Lord that he reaches out to the smallest village in Alaska, to the poorest place in Africa. Thank God that the Lord is able to minister and able to provide. No matter how old the university in Europe, no matter how great and extensive the intellect, I'm glad my God is able to bring salvation. My God is able to bring a change. My God is able to bring fulfillment. My God is able to minister to the multitudes. multitudes. Oh, you read it again and again in the scriptures. Matthew 12 and 15. Great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. All? That's what it says. Amen. The power of God being revealed to all. Matthew 15 and 30. A great multitude came unto him, having with them those that were lame and blind and dumb and maimed and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Oh my, how great our God is. It doesn't matter what the extent of the injuries or the disease or the problems was. The great multitude that came, and they brought him them all to the Lord, and he healed them. Praise God. In verse 31 of that same chapter, the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God it's still happening. Thank God he's still moving. Thank the Lord he's still healing. The multitude is being extended. It's being added to. It's being multiplied because God is not held back. He shows his power. He moves in a wonderful way. Thank the Lord that there is the blessing of his goodness and his power. In verse 32, he said, I have compassion on the multitude. Not only did he take care of their healing needs, but he understood they were hungry. And so he fed thousands with seven loaves and a few little fishes. And they did eat, were 4,000 men beside women and children. Thank God that the power of the Lord was there. He filled thousands with the food that was multiplied because he desired to fill thousands with his Spirit. Praise God. I'm thankful we can be filled with the Spirit of God, not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit and know the power of God to minister in our lives. Praise God. The Spirit of the Lord would be poured out. The analogy of water to the Spirit was very appropriate because water being so essential to life. The Lord used water to symbolize the Spirit several times in his preaching, in his teaching. He talked about a well of living water springing up into everlasting life to that woman in Samaria. And he interrupted that religious service by talking about rivers of living water springing up. Praise God. And I'm thankful for the power of the Lord and the explanation of John saying, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Thank God that we can believe, we can receive. And the Spirit came as promised. Those that were in the upper room, 120 that were assembled there, including Mary and the brothers of Jesus. And thank God the power of the Lord came among that group, 120, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Just weeks before, Pilate wrote in three languages in that sign that he had nailed to the cross. But the Spirit spoke in over 15 languages that were recognized on that day of Pentecost. And Peter quoted prophecy from Joel. My that shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Thank God for the power of the Lord that would bring about that kind of result, that kind of fulfillment, and the promise that was made centuries before. The Lord did not forget his word. The Lord did not forget his promise. The Lord did not overlook it. Thank God he came forth in his time and in his purpose, and it's still happening today. It's still being poured out today. The power of God is still coming forth. An explosive increase on that first day of 3,120 at least being filled, being baptized, and then 5,000, and then a multitude both of men and women, and the disciples multiplying in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests being obedient to the faith. I like Acts 6 and 7 because it lets me know it includes everybody. It includes the religious religious. It includes those who were perhaps just on the edge of wondering about the Word of God and how the Lord could fulfill it. But God increased His Word, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Thank God for the power of the Lord. Opposition? Yes, there was opposition. There were those who declared, "You fill Jerusalem with your doctrine." Jerusalem is key because Jesus said it would begin at Jerusalem. He said that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in His name beginning at Jerusalem. That's why it's so important for us to grab a hold of the name of Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism and know the power of that name to remit every sin. Hallelujah. The power of that name to take care of every need. Oh, I'm glad that the Lord provided it all. He didn't leave anything out. He didn't say, "This is going to be good enough for you." No, He brought it forth. He gave it all. Hallelujah. And it started in Jerusalem and spread out from there. Thank God for the power of the Lord that included everybody. And there were those who opposed and said, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." I'm glad the Lord turned my world right side up. I'm glad the Lord provided for me the direction that I needed to have. I didn't have to get involved in more sin. I didn't have to go down the roadway of rebellion and sin any longer. I could move in the realm of His power and His blessing and know the goodness of God. I'm thankful that there was powerful evangelism in the Word of God. There was a power witness in the Word of God, and I'm thankful it was there in a little village called Huna when I was 15 years old. And the Lord began pulling on my heart. I'm thankful that God was there to minister. Hallelujah. And the blessings that would come. The goodness of God. Amen. The world, the whole world has gone after Him. Praise God. There are some that don't want their world disturbed. Don't want their world upset. They like the way it's going. They like the things they're involved in. Don't see anything wrong with that. But the Scripture says, love not the world. And I think it would be appropriate to say it this way. Love not your world. What you're comfortable with. What you're satisfied in. What you feel is completely adequate. Love not your world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Not going to coexist. Not going to cohabitate. No, it's got to be love of the Father. Praise God. Amen. Love of the Father is going to exclude love of the world. Love of the world is going to exclude love of the Father. They're not going to be together. God help us to be able to make the right choice. And thank the Lord. His power is there to minister. As He declared, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it," the Bible lets us know. I'm thankful that we can be committed to the work of God and see His power and His goodness come forth. Therefore, my beloved brethren, Paul would write at the close of 1 Corinthians 15, a long chapter, a chapter that deals with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a chapter that shows the power of salvation to bring a change to people's lives and how ultimately there's going to be a change from mortal to immortality, from corruptible to incorruption. Praise God. Therefore, my beloved brethren, he concludes, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thank God that we can have that knowledge. We can have that experience. We can have that awareness. I'm going to keep going. This work is not going to fail. This work is not going to falter. This work is not going to vanish. It's not going to disappear. It's going to last for eternity. And I'm going to keep on going. The gates of hell will not stop it and not prevail against it. Praise God. I'm going to keep on going and know the power. The power of the Lord is there because God wants us to reach this world. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's how important repentance is. a change of lifestyle, a change of thinking, a change of purpose, a change of direction, asking God for forgiveness. Praise God. And He willingly extends that. And then He gives us power to change. Hallelujah. Thank God that all can come to repentance. All is included. And I'm glad that included you and me. Praise God. The goodness of God, the Bible says, leads to repentance. The goodness of God is not to put a stamp of approval upon people's lifestyles that are contrary to His word. No, we're to move into the realm of the Lord saying, God, You've been so good to me. I need to obey You. You've been so good to me. I need to follow You. You've been so good to me, God. I need to believe You and Your word and follow after it. Go after Him. It's what happened in the beginning. The baby laid in Bethlehem. The shepherds got the angelic message. They heard the heavenly host. They saw the display of angelic power. And they hurried, they hastened to Bethlehem to find that babe lying in a manger. The wise men made that long journey. And the word of God gave them the final connection. They came and worshiped the Lord with their expensive gifts, and they left another way, thank God. Not just another way in a sense of another direction, another path, another plan. No, they were changed because of worship of that Christ child. Thank God that there can be a change. There can be a difference in our lives. And I'm thankful that the Lord would come to each one of us. He left eternity and entered time to live on the world that He spoke into existence for over 33 years. He left the glory of heaven to live in the squalor and the pain and the problems of earth. He became sin, the Bible says, that you could be made the righteousness of God. Oh, I'm thankful that the hand of the Lord is displayed and the power of God is brought forth, how that the Lord is able to make those changes. I'm thankful that we could leave time on earth so that we could spend eternity with Him. Amen. I'm glad that the new birth is not just an idea, not just a thought. I'm glad the new birth is not just a new thrill, but it is salvation that is so great by the power of the Lord. His Spirit and His name are not just good luck charms, but there is power to overcome all the power of the enemy. Thank God that the hand of the Lord is there to minister in our lives. And I'm thankful that the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Praise God. I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord and the blessings of God that He makes that invitation. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Praise God. I'm glad that it is open. I'm glad that He provides. I'm thankful that water of the Spirit of life is now available and will be available throughout eternity. Praise God. Go after Him. Praise God. There will be that time of going after Him when we meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh my, I want to be ready to go after Him in that time, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the Antichrist ruling here upon the world for a 7-year period of tribulation, and then the Armageddon defeat that He is going to suffer, and 1,000 years of peace upon this world. Is that possible? It's in the Word of God. When you get rid of Satan and you make Jesus King, peace, praise God, and the power of the Lord that is displayed in such a wonderful way. Oh, we're going to keep going after Him. Praise God. Going to keep going after Him. Hallelujah. Amen. They bear record. That means they told, they testified, and they kept telling, they kept witnessing. We saw Lazarus walk out of that grave. We heard Jesus call him forth. It was so simple. All He said after we rolled the stone aside, He said, we're going to see the glory of God. So we put our shoulders to the wheel. We removed that stone. We heard Him say, Lazarus, come forth. And here He came. Hallelujah. And oh my, the different ones who would have their different perspectives and have their different viewpoints and so on would all come together in agreement that it is powerful. It is wonderful. It is incredible. Praise God. Lazarus being living proof, literally, of the miracles of God and the blessings of the Lord that would come forth. They encouraged others, go after him. Go after him. Praise God. And I'm thankful your testimony can encourage others to go after him. Your sharing scripture, your teaching the word of God can encourage others. Go after him. You mentioning the miracles of the Lord doing a work in your life and in the work of others. Praise God. Go after him. Thank God that we can keep Jesus as the focus. We can keep Jesus as the one we're looking to, the one we're calling upon, the one that we believe and know he is there to minister to our needs. Praise God. The whole world. The whole world. Praise God. Amen. Go after him. Disappointment, discouragement, those things happen in this world. Those events will take place. But I thank God that when we go after the Lord, there's going to be that power and blessing that he provides for us, that strength and encouragement, that recognition that his word is not going to falter, it's not going to fail. It's not going to be something that just crumbles and it's gone. No, it's going to stand firm and strong, and that's what we can believe and hold on to and know that God's word is what we live. Praise God. Amen. And we're going to go after him. Let's stand together, please. Glory to the Lord. The crazy thing is, in this same chapter that we read, there was the determination. There was the decision. There was the purpose. There was the direction. We've got to kill Lazarus. Along with Jesus. The thinking of man, man's ideas, man's solutions, man's coming up with the ideas that I think is going to be the answer, it falls so far short. And the way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof being the ways of death, that's what we've got to be aware of, and that's what we've got to avoid. No, I've got to go God's way. Got to follow God's word. Got to follow in the direction that he has for us. Go after him. Praise God. And know the blessings that are there when we receive from him. Thank God for the help of the Lord in all of our situations, in all of our needs, in all of our circumstances. Our God is there, and I'm thankful we can put our trust in him. I'm thankful we can look to him and call upon him. Praise God. Amen. And then he just gives us more evidence. He gives us more proof. He gives us more awareness. I can tell somebody else about what he's done for me. I can tell somebody else about the miracles that I've seen right here in our church. Praise God. And the power of the Lord that makes a difference in our lives. Oh, what a great God. What a great God. Hallelujah. Let's keep going after him. Praise God. Would you come and pray today? We want to come and seek the face of the Lord. We want to believe him for even greater promises. We want to trust him and know he'll be there for us. Praise God. Oh, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.